Welcome to Life Church Foursquare Podcast with Pastor Eric. In today's message from the series, No Robots Allowed, we will hear from Pastor Eric on our conduct in the Christian faith. The sermon is based on the scripture, 1 Timothy 4:12. Visit lifechurch4sq.com for more information about our service times, groups, and upcoming activities.
Really glad you guys are here. Today we're continuing our series called No Robots Allowed. The idea behind this series is that we can easily just become robotic and do whatever becomes natural. But the Bible is very clear is our natural living will lead to death because naturally we all die. If you guys didn't all notice, you're all terminal. Don't know if the doctor called you yet or not. But we all have this natural part that we can just become like everything else. We end up looking like robots. We end up just doing what robots do. And so what Jesus calls us, he doesn't want us to be natural, but supernatural. And he asks us to do things that can come off and look and go, there's no way I could do that. And our verse we've been going through over and over again, 1 Timothy 4:12. All the verses are going to be up here for you. Also, there are Bibles at the end of all the rows you're welcome to grab. Or if you have your iPhone or iPad, you can look on YouVersion. If you haven't already, if you have one of those, go to the App Store, download YouVersion Bible app. It's probably the best Bible app out there. So you want to grab that. So it says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young or old or ugly or attractive or fill in the blank. But be an example to all believers in what you say and the way that you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. 2 weeks ago, we talked about don't let anyone think less of you because you are young or old, or you know what I just said. Be an example to all believers in what you say. We did that. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Example in your speech, the way that you live, in which we're talking about today, and your love that we talked about last week. Next week, we're talking about your faith, and then in all purity. And you want to come to next week. It's very exciting. I preached the message at the Spanish congregation a few weeks ago, and God did some really great things through it, so I really want you to be here next week as well. But we're going to talk about the way that we live, our conduct. Our conduct. Has anyone been arrested for misconduct? Let's just throw it out there. No? Okay. Brendan, I knew it. Yeah. Yeah, okay. There's a few of us. That's okay. We know what this means. We know what it means to, we see people who live poorly. And it's not, I'm talking financially. Have you ever driven like down the freeway and there's that one jerk who's driving super fast, causing accidents all around him? And you have that thought, don't tell me you don't. You go, I hope they get an accident. Right? Don't tell me you don't think that you do. When someone cuts you off, they're going 100 miles an hour in a thing with 20-inch rims and super loud muffler things. You're going, this guy's a jerk. He looks like a jerk. He's going to be a jerk. And you go, I hope that guy gets an accident. I know I'm not the only one. But we have this, we see what misconduct is. And you know what's funny is we hate it when people misbehave toward us. Or if you've ever seen people in a bus or in a crowded area and they're or in a movie theater, come on, they're talking on their cell phone. You just want to hit them across the head and say, knock it off. Like, we see people, we don't like being misbehaved against, but when it comes to our own behavior, you go, don't mess with me. I am who I am. And you kind of have this, like, I'm not a child anymore. I don't need correction. But man, have you noticed that children, adults are just grown-up children? They're just children with driver's license. I am still a child in many ways. I still whine and cry. My wife has to go, Eric, get off your butt and figure it out. She has to say, she has to come and go, Eric, it's okay. It's okay. Who's a good boy? Like, we have to have that encouragement. I don't care how old you are. You still need that part of you that's taken care of. You need that encouragement. Paul writes this to the Ephesians. He says, Ephesians 5:15-18 says, so be careful the way you live. So don't be reckless. Be careful the way you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly. How many of us have told that to our teenagers? Or remember being told that as teenagers? Don't act thoughtlessly. Don't be an idiot. Don't be stupid. I didn't call you stupid. I said what you did was stupid. Anyone else have that conversation? Yes, okay. But understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. I like that little side part. Just by the way, stay away from the DUIs. And stay away from Captain Morgan. Don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. Alcohol will ruin your life. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't drink. Let me just make that very clear. We have that. In Foursquare, we believe, in Christianity, it says you can have a drink. Just don't get drunk on it. If it's something you know you're going to get drunk on, don't drink it. Have a little, walk wisdom, right? Right? Yeah. And so, don't live like fools. Don't live thoughtlessly. Have you ever just gone, I'm just going to see what happens today? Try that with your budget. Half of you already do that. You're like, budget, what's that word? And you live just carelessly. Whatever I spend, whatever I see at the Citadel, whatever I see at the restaurant, I'm not going to budget. I'm not, that's why I'm with calories. And Kirk and I had this conversation when we went to lunch. Calories I see is an unlimited amount. But apparently you want to limit that. But I'm very excited. I've lost 5 pounds this week. That's very exciting. Because now I'm looking at calories. I'm not writing them down, though. I'm sorry, Kirk. Kirk had a great idea. He goes, use your life journal to write down what your intake is if you're trying to lose weight. Because you're right there with your daily devotions and everything. Don't live like fools, but live those who are wise. My first point I want to talk about today, and this is real. This is very real. So if you walk away with anything else today, I want you to walk away with this. If you fail to plan before the moment, you will fail in the heat of the moment. It's so easy to go, I won't. I'm just going to go to the bar, and if I drink, I drink. It's not a big deal. Then you end up going to the bar, and you go, wait, did I go to the bar? Because you drink so much. Or you have a history of, you like to have sex. It makes sense. It's not a bad thing. But you're not in a marriage relationship. You're not married. And so you have this history, but I'm going to choose not to go this way. I'm not going to sleep with anyone before I'm married. If you don't make that decision now, you're going to go on a hot date, and she's going to look so good, and she's going to smell so good, and you're going to go, oh, I didn't make any decision. I'm just going to see what happens. See, if you make the decision before the moment, you won't fail in the heat of the moment. Because when your emotions get raging, even if it's anger, if it's lust, whatever it maybe is if you haven't made that decision when you're calm, you're not going to make the decision when your emotions are high. There's no way. If you say you're not going to beat people up, you have an anger issue, you like to punch people, make a decision, no matter what happened, I'm not going to punch somebody. And so when that something happens that sets you off, you've already made the decision. It's no longer an option. Or if it's going to be a good thing, I am going to do this. I'm not dating anyone right now, I'm not seeing one, but when I do, I'm going to treat this girl right. I'm going to buy her flowers, I'm going to honor her, I'm going to ask her parents if I want to marry her before I do anything. You make all those decisions now. And so when you're there, you're not like, what do I do? What do I do? That's the whole idea of college. Getting prepared before you get in the career. You get in the career, you have an idea of what you're doing. Not all the time. But you have a general idea. In 2 Samuel, we see a great example of this guy named King David. He's one of the most well-known, revered kings in all of Israel's history. In 2 Samuel 11, it says, in the spring, at the time when the kings are off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israel army. They destroyed the Amorites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Problem number one, David did not go to war as he was supposed to be. You always notice your biggest struggles will be in places you shouldn't be in the first place. And then two, when you're bored. Boredom is horrible. Every bad thing happens when you're bored. Not every bad thing. But most bad things happen when you're bored. You just have nothing to do. You can't think of what to do. So you start thinking of things you shouldn't do. Because the things you should do just feel like it's just too hard to do. Shopping, sure. Yeah. No, that could be a big one. How much money have we spent out of boredom? How many McDonald's cheeseburgers have we ate out of boredom? Right? Maybe that's just me. Can't do the cheeseburgers anymore. It says, one evening, David got up from his bed, walked around the roof of his palace. Perfectly normal, right? We all do that. Anyone else walk on the roof of their palace when they can't sleep? Yeah. Do it all the time. I have just helicopters from the LA County Sheriff running around. The deals are going. Anyway. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. Now, if you had made a decision, I'm going to stay faithful to my wife because he was married. He goes, I see a woman bathing. You look the other way. You go back into the basement of your palace. You get off the roof. You do whatever it takes. You go, I ain't going to mess with that because I know That's going to be a struggle. That's going to be an area. He says, he sees a woman bathing. Has David done anything wrong yet? No. He's done nothing wrong. The woman was very beautiful. Okay. Now, this is purely a thought. Is there anything wrong with looking at a woman going, they are very beautiful? Nothing wrong with that. David hasn't done anything wrong. And David sent someone to find out about her. Now you're kind of hitting the borderline, but maybe he's just trying to friend her on Facebook, maybe. You know, stumbled upon her page. Said, oh, she's good looking. I don't know her, or I do know her. Maybe she's an ex. She's looking pretty good. Nothing's going to happen. I'll just befriend her on Facebook. I'll just follow her on Twitter, because that's a little bit more stalkerish. And David sent someone to find out. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Okay, she's taken, you're taken. Again, if he had prepared in the moment, red flags, red things are going crazy. What's that one robot in the early show, Lost in Space? And he goes, Danger Will Robinson. Is that guy? Yeah, so Danger Will Robinson is going off in your head. This is what should be happening if you planned before the moment. Now guess what? He's in the heat of the moment. I love this. It's just... This is one of the things, if you've ever seen Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 2, when Mel Brooks says, it's good to be the king. David. She came to him, and he slept with her. How did we go from saw a woman bathing, or no, I'm sorry, he walking on the roof of his palace, to now he slept with her? In three verses. Because he didn't make the decision before the moment, so he failed in the heat of the moment. That's all it takes, 3 seconds, 3 minutes, 3 nights, whatever it is, it's here because you didn't make the decision, you're going in blind. And how many of you know, if you played Modern Warfare or Halo, you know you don't go in blind. You know, you need to know what's going on around you. If you fail to plan before the moment, you will fail in the heat of the moment. See, we have to live on purpose. We have to think thoughtfully. What am I going to do? How is this best going to honor me personally? How is this going to honor God? How is this going to honor my family? How is this going to honor the woman or the man that I'm dating or seeing? How is this going to honor my kids? How is this going to honor my budget? How is this going to honor my future hopes and dreams? You have to keep all this, think thoughtfully. If you don't know what you want, you're going to take whatever is given to you. Because you didn't plan before the moment, so you're going to act and live within the heat of the moment. And nothing good comes from that. Nothing good comes from that. Number two, our outward behavior is a reflection of our heart. The temptation is, oh, if I change the way I live, and then my heart will change. That's not accurate. It doesn't work that way. You have to change it here for it to be reflected out here. Imagine a truck driving with a big old long trailer. Imagine if the truck was trying, I was going to bring an Optimus Prime thing here, but I forgot about it. Imagine, do they steer by the trailer? Do they steer the cab of the truck by the trailer? No. They steer it from the cab. And what's bigger, the trailer or the truck? The trailer. What's more powerful? The truck. The truck's our heart. Everything that's going, the big part that everyone sees, it's going to be controlled by our heart. So our inward, our behavior, outward behavior is a reflection of what's going on inside. In Mark 12, we see a very interesting thing, and I picked this verse for a very specific purpose because it deals with money. Because money makes us uncomfortable. Because we can say, I love God, I love Jesus, I love God, and you say tithe, and he goes, heck no. That's my money. Well, that's because it's your God. When we say we live a life of generosity, we go, uh-uh, that's my money, I worked hard for it. No, you can only work hard for it because God gave you hands and feet and a brain to do it. In Mark 12, I love this. Jesus sat down. Jesus did this on purpose, by the way. He did this on purpose. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple. He sat down near the joy box. Okay? Maybe he was getting to know it, Charles. That's funny. In the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Can anyone say that's a little creeper? That's a little like, come on, that's my personal thing that I'm doing. But Jesus sits back. He watches it. Many rich people came in and put large amounts because they didn't write checks. They didn't have cool little envelopes where you can put your name on it. They just brought their coin and went, chunk. Everyone knew what you're bringing. They knew. So the rich people would come, and they would, you know, I think of Scrooge from that Scrooge McDuck. he swims in money. Anyone else ever want to swim in coin and change? That would be so, have you ever held pennies? That's gross. Anyway, these rich people come and they're just dropping, boom. Yeah, that's my tithe. I'm pretty good. And they walk away and the next rich guy, dunk. I'm that. Yeah, I'm a baller. I'm good. Check this out. Look what I'm doing. Many rich people put in large amounts. In verse 42 says, then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. And this caught Jesus' attention. Verse 43 says, Jesus called his disciples and said, hey guys, check this out. Come on, come hang out with me by the joy boxes. I'm going to teach you a lesson here. I'm going to teach you something. I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. Okay. Pure accountant 101. Two coins do not equal a large amount of change, right? But Jesus never looks at the amount. He looks at the percentage. Isn't that funny? He looks at the percentage. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. They gave a small percentage of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. These rich people gave maybe 8%, 7%, 5%, 4%. This widow gave 100%. He says she gave more. See, the heart of the Pharisees would say, hey, come look at me. Look at my outward behavior. Look how good I am. Because that's what they wanted fed. They wanted their image filled and be recognized. But the widow's heart goes, it's actually embarrassing for her to go do this. She put in two, they put in thousands. And she put in her two, and God says, that's what I honor more. Because that shows me someone with the heart. That shows me someone that her faith is completely in me. Galatians 4:19 says, my children, Christ shall be formed in you. It has to be in you. It says, when you receive Jesus in your heart, he's going to begin to form your heart. He's going to make it look less like our natural selves and more like the supernatural Jesus. And he's going to be changing things. And how do we approach that? What does that look like in real life? I've heard people say, Jesus is in my heart. What does that actually mean? Like, is there a little miniature Jewish guy hanging out in my heart? And so he's forming. And so what we want to do is we want to be the best versions of ourselves because the best version of ourselves is Jesus. But guess what? If you look at just your outward appearance, you're not going to reach there. You're not going to know what that looks like. But what happens, anyone play sports? Yeah, okay. Anyone play baseball, tennis, anything like that? Okay, one thing I do know about those sports, it's not much. But I remember, even I was a pole vaulter in high school. So there's a thing called visualization. Anyone heard of visualization when it comes to sports? So you're sitting at the bat. My elbow's okay? Are we doing good? Okay. Yeah, the bat's in my face. Okay, yeah. before you even see it happen, you visualize, during your practice, you visualize your perfect swing. You visualize the perfect pitch. Or in tennis, You visualize your perfect throw and as you about serve where your hands go and exactly where you want. You go in that far left corner. You know exactly where you want it to go. In pole vaulting, I knew exactly. I imagine, sit there and imagine my perfect run, my perfect plant, everything that would be perfect. Now, when I actually did that, far from perfect, right? But as you keep, that's the idea of visualization. You visualize what is perfection and you make small adjustments. And so you finally meet there. And that's what practice is for. It's the same with golf. You practice your swing. You get in there. You do all your, I'm going to do horrible. My father-in-law is going to kill me. But, you know, you get your, and you practice. And there's little tweaks. You got to pull your leg back here. Bend this one. A little bit, tweak your back here. Pull your hips up. Get your shoulders back. All those little tweaks bring you into alignment to what your visualization is. What you see from the inside out. You never measure from the outside in. You never go here. Because what happens? Like I'm gonna do this. Have you ever seen that Volvo commercial or the BMW commercial where the father and son are playing catch? Like this, son. Like, and it's like, why are they throwing so poorly? Because they figure that's the correct thing to do. But when you actually look at it, no, there's a whole system to it. But they're correcting from the outside to outside. Jesus says we need to correct ourselves from the inside to the the outside. He says, you don't clean the outside of the cup first. You clean the inside of the cup first. So you get that visualization. Jesus is our visualization. He's a perfection of humanity. He is the one that we are to set our lives in. So as we visualize with him, we'll begin to see our lives with little adjustments to look more like him. It's not going to happen in a day, by the way. None of us look like Jesus. But if we try, we look more like Jesus today than we did yesterday. That's all you can do. We're never going to reach Jesus. But little by little, we become closer and closer to what he is forming inside of our heart. I love what Wayne Cordero says. He says, do not change your inner form to match your outside behavior. You change your outside behavior to match your inner form. Again, the trailer follows the truck. See, Jesus does not want your good behavior. I want to say again, Jesus is not interested in your good behavior. Great. Good job. You're nice. You pay your taxes. You are nice to animals. You visit your grandkids or whatever it may be. Like, you're nice, but God, he's not that concerned with your good behavior. He's not even impressed by your good behavior. He wants your heart. Because sometimes good behavior is just covering bad character. But he wants good character that naturally displays good behavior. That's the whole idea behind our Discover, Encounter, and Display. Can you throw that up real quick, Britt? Our purpose and our mission as a church to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Because you cannot display something you have not discovered and what you have not encountered. You're going to display something other than the love of Jesus. You maybe display the love of religion, or the love of a community, or the love of something else, or the love of your own security. But it's not going to be Jesus until you discover him and really wrestle through what that looks like. That alignment that happens one little correction at a time or an encouragement at a time. When you give Jesus your heart, he will build in you not good behavior, but godly behavior. And that's what we need. Because godly behavior is not good behavior. Good behavior means you keep your mouth shut and keep harmony in society. Godly behavior says you do what's right even when it means confrontation. There's a difference. He doesn't want us to have good behavior. He wants to have godly behavior, and that can only happen little by little. So what's this mean for you? And you can write this down. Number three is take an honest inventory. We need to have checkups. Do you take an active inventory of your life? Carolyn did a great, she shared this last week during the story portion of our service last week. She says, you need to take inventory. Don't wait for a crisis to see what's wrong. Have daily checkups, have weekly checkups, monthly checkups. We talked about this in our couples group, couples. We need to have a weekly, what do we call it? Assessment. Just go, hey, how am I doing? How are we doing? Something that Pastor Roger taught Aaron and I is what were my home runs this week? What were my base hits? And what were my strikeouts? And when you do that as a couple, you'll begin to see strengthening in your marriage. When you do that as a family, you begin to strengthen your family. When you do that individually as your character and with your relationship with God, guess what? You're going to grow. You're going to have strength. You're going to have hope. You're going to have faith. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, he says, examine yourself to test, to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Now, test yourself doesn't mean, well, I'm going to see if I believe in God, I'm going to walk into the strip club. Praise the Lord. No, that's not what that means. It says, test your faith. Test yourself. What? Am I doing my daily devotions? Am I treating my wife right? My husband right? Am I stewarding my finances correctly? Am I tithing? Am I saving? Am I watching what my expenses are going to? Do I share my faith? When's the last time I shared my faith with somebody? When's the last time I took that invite card and gave it to somebody? Or how many of them do I have stacked in my car? All those little inventories. Have I called my parents this week? Have I called my kids? Have I told them I love them? All those different things, those areas in your life that you know that you struggle with, do an inventory. Because when you do an inventory, again, that's part of that course correction. That's part of your Christ being formed in your heart little by little. I want to close with this, and if Aaron and Jonathan and Jacob can come up. You're like, wait a minute, I thought we were going to talk about behavior. How can I have good behavior? Well, before we can talk about good behavior, we got to talk about your heart. You take care of your heart. You allow Jesus to take care of your heart. Commit your life to him and to be in your word, to be in a community like this, to begin to treating people correctly. As those little adjustments happen, your behavior is just going to naturally change. You don't have to try to do anything. You'll become less of a jerk. You'll become less selfish. You will become less prone to temptation because the Bible says you're setting yourselves upon the heavens, not upon the earth. Because when your perspective is coming from who Jesus is, you kind of realize what things really are important, what aren't important. It's amazing how much frivolous things that we fret over. Paul writes to the Philippians this, "And I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." The idea of this message is not to discourage you, but to encourage you. Whatever God is beginning in you today, or began in you a month ago, 2 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 years ago, and you're in a time right now where you feel like, I just don't know anymore. I'm tired of doing these course corrections. I just want to do what I want and deal with the consequences later. What can I say is, allow him to continue the work he's doing in you. Everything worth having is it takes work to have. This is good. Jesus is working in you. And maybe he's working in you right now for the first time. Wherever you are in your life right now, I want you to know this. It's going to be better with Jesus. Wherever you are, you just barely scrapped yourself up from the floor this morning from some house or porch you've never seen before and got yourself to church here. You give your life to Jesus. You commit to follow Jesus. Your life's going to be better than it would have been without him. We need him. Why? Because he created us to have a relationship with him. And we chose to reject it. So let's choose not to reject it anymore. Let's choose to come to him. Give him your heart, and he'll form it in his image. Pretty simple. He created you. Let him fix you. You're not going to fix yourself. You don't know how to. It's like me trying to fix my car. It won't work. Let him fix you. Let's go ahead and stand together as we close. I believe that God is speaking right now, and that's that Holy Spirit thing I was talking about earlier. These words jump out to you and go, oh man, I need to hear that. Oh, I didn't want to hear that. The Holy Spirit's working in you. Allow him to. Allow him to take care of your thoughts. Allow him to take care of your heart. Clean out your heart. Clean out your soul. Build good character. Good faith. Build faithfulness. And you're going to see a life that displays the love of Jesus. And what that means, you're going to see life bloom around you. Let's pray together. Lord, we want you to take control of our hearts. God, we don't want good behavior, Lord. We want godly behavior. So God, I just pray for anyone in here right now, wherever they are at life. Maybe they've never accepted your love. This is a brand new thing for you. Or you've been walking with him for years, but it just feels dry. Or you're ready to go, and man, you're committed to this. You're doing your daily devotions, and you just need encouragement. Holy Spirit, I pray that you give what each person needs in this room right now. Some of them need a hug. Some of them need a kick in the butt. Regardless, they need it from you. Because you do it in such a way that's so loving. Because you want to see life bloom from us. To be filled in us so it can be just poured out all over us and over the people around us. I don't know how you need to respond, but I want you to do just for this. If you feel the Holy Spirit moving in you, and God's speaking to you right now, you know it. I'm going to ask you to do something out of faith a little bit. Not that crazy, but just something small. It says, Lord, I want you to continue to do this work that you're doing in me right now. Can we just lift our hand? My eyes are closed. Everyone else's eyes are closed. This is just for you. Just lift your hand and say, Lord, and you can pray this with me. Actually, we're all going to pray this together. We're just going to pray this all out loud. Lord, continue this work. I may not want to hear it, but I need it. Continue to make your word come alive in me. So my heart can then reflect in my behavior. God, help me to live in wisdom and not in foolishness. Thank you for your love and your grace, that no matter what stuff I'm in, your love never fails. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope today's message brought to light ways where you can discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. We want to invite you to check out our Life Church Foursquare Facebook page and our website at www.lifechurch4sq.com.